It is good to see each of you here this evening, and I hope that as we study together, it can be profitable to us, can help us to better serve God and be encouraged in our service to Him. We'll talk this evening about I have prayed for you. There have been a number of occasions when I have told various people, in fact some of you, that I have prayed for you, and I know that it's an encouragement to me to know that someone has been praying for me. And so as we pray for one another, it's good that we let each other know that and that we encourage one another in doing that. But this evening, we're going to talk about somebody special that prayed. You know, if somebody that I really look up to and somebody that I really respect in a spiritual sense tells me that they're praying for me, then that really sort of has an impact, because I think that person really does maybe have some kind of connection or with the Lord or something else. And so we talk about praying for each other. But on this occasion, when this statement is found, the one who made this statement and the one who was praying was Jesus. In the book of Luke, in chapter 22, there in verses 31 and 32, we find that it's the night that Jesus was betrayed. They're in the upper room. Jesus is there with the apostles. And Jesus looked at Peter and He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have returned again, strengthen your brothers." Jesus tells Peter, "I've prayed for you." Now, as we think about this statement, I think it's important for us to recognize, of course, the power of prayer. And as we think about Jesus and how often He would go off and pray, and certainly if anybody had a special connection with God, it's Jesus. Here He is, the very Son of God, living as a man, and He tells Peter, "I have prayed for you." Now, Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would be strong and that he would not give in to temptation. Jesus knew what Peter was about to face. He knew it. He understood the temptations that were about to be there for Peter. And so He tells Peter in particular, He says, "Peter, I want you to know that I have prayed for you." Look at our text again. He said, "I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And so He is praying for Peter, and He is praying that he will be strong, that he will be able to face what he has to face and to be able to endure the temptation, and that he will not give in. In John chapter 17, where John records the conversation there in the upper room, Jesus told the apostles in verse 15, He said, "I do not ask thee to take them out of the world." He's praying on their behalf. He says, "but to keep them from the evil one." Jesus prayed not only for Peter, but for all of the apostles, that they would be delivered from the evil one, that they would not give in to temptation, that their faith would be strong. And so He was praying for Peter. But He also prayed that Peter would repent after he sinned. And I find that interesting, because Jesus says, "I've prayed for you that your faith will be strong. I'm praying for you that you'll not give in." But He said, "after you do give in and after you sin." In other words, He knew Peter wasn't going to be able to make it. He knew that Peter was going to give in. He said, "but after you do, I just pray that you'll turn back and that you'll repent." And so go back to our text again. He says, "I pray for you that once you have turned again, you'll strengthen your brethren." And so He says, "I'm praying for you not only that you'll be strong, but I know you're going to be weak, and I know you're not going to be able to endure, and you're going to give in to this temptation. But my prayer is that after you give in, that you will in turn repent and turn away from it." And so He prayed for him that he would not sin, but after he did sin, that he would repent. He also prayed that he would then use the experience of giving in to this temptation, the experience of repenting from what he had done wrong, to strengthen his brothers. I want you to think about what Jesus is praying here. Jesus tells Peter, He says, I've prayed for you, first of all, that you will not sin, but I know you will. And so I'm praying that you'll repent. But now I'm praying that you'll take this terrible situation in your life where you have failed spiritually, your faith has failed, you have sinned, you've given in, but I'm praying that you will use that to help others not give in to their temptations. Look at our text again. He said, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And so Jesus is saying here, I want you to use this bad experience. Now sometimes we let things happen to us and these bad experiences come and maybe we give in to a temptation or we do things that we know we shouldn't and we get down and out and we just want to give up. He says, Peter, don't give up. You can take the worst things that happen to you. And what Peter did was about as bad as anybody could do. But he said, you can take the worst things that happen to you and you can use them not only to help you be stronger, but you can use them to strengthen your brothers. You can use them to help others to be strong and to be able to serve God. And so Jesus prayed for Peter. Jesus told Peter to pray for himself that he would not enter into temptation. Not only did Jesus pray for Peter, but he told Peter, he said, Peter, you need to be praying. I'm praying for you, but you need to be praying too. You need to be praying that you not enter into temptation. Look at Luke 22, there in verse 40. Here they have gone out of the upper room. They've gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they arrived at that place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And so he tells the apostles, I want you to be praying. Remember, he took some of them further with him. And he said, I want you to be praying. Peter was one of them. And he went about a stone's throw away and he began praying that he not have to endure what he was about to endure. And he was gone about an hour. And when he arose from prayer, he's talking about Jesus, he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You see, Jesus not only prayed for Peter, but he told Peter, you need to be praying for yourself. You need to be praying that you not enter into temptation. Peter did not respond as he should. Instead of praying, Peter trusted in his own strength. In fact, if you go back and you look at Luke chapter 22, there in verse 31 and 32, which is our text, you remember, Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I pray for you. He says, but when you turn again, you strengthen the brothers. And then the next verse says, Peter said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready both to go to prison and to death. You see, Peter's not taking this seriously like Jesus said. Jesus knows what's ahead for Peter. And Peter says, Lord, don't worry about it. I know I'm strong. Lord, I don't need to pray because I know I can handle things. And so Peter says, don't worry about it, Lord. I will take care of things. And so instead of praying, Peter trusted in his own strength. Peter trusted in what he thought he was capable of doing. And so when they got to the garden, instead of being concerned about what he should have been concerned about, Matthew says that Jesus told them to watch and pray. They did not watch, they did not pray, but rather they slept instead. And so in Luke 22, verse 55, or 45, it says, when he rose from prayer, he came and he found them sleeping. And he said, can you not stay awake for at least an hour? You need to get up. You need to be praying. But I want to see the result of Peter's self-confidence. The result of his sleeping and his nonchalant attitude instead of praying that he would not enter into temptation. When the enemy came, Peter tried to fight with his own strength. Now, you have to admire Peter for being like this, and yet at the same time you recognize that this is not what Jesus wanted for him. In John 18, verses 10 and 11, it says, Simon Peter, and this is when the soldiers came to take Jesus, Simon Peter, therefore having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? You see, Peter's just thinking about himself and he's thinking about his own strength. He said, Lord, I'll fight for you. And he did. He said, Lord, don't you worry, I'll die for you. And he drew the sword and he was ready to fight. But now Jesus told him to put up his sword. And I suspect at this moment Peter is beginning to wonder, who is this man? I suspect he's beginning to wonder, what is it that Jesus wants from me? You see, Peter was trying to depend on his own strength. And so he's willing to fight, but he wants to do it his way. But notice what it says then. Having failed in his attempt to fight for Jesus, they took Jesus off to the high priest's house. And it tells us there in Luke 22, verse 54, having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest, but Peter was following at a distance. Peter is beginning now, because of his doubts, because of what he has done, and Jesus rebukes him for it, because he failed to defend the Lord with his own strength and his own sword. He still wants to follow, but he's following now at a distance. He distances himself from Jesus. And so he follows at a distance. And the next scene opens. They've built a fire in the courtyard. Peter is sitting there among those who are accusing Jesus. In verse 55 it says, after they'd kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down, Peter was sitting among them. I want you to think about what's happened to Peter. Peter has gone from being totally self-confident, totally strong, but ignoring the fact that Jesus was praying for him, ignoring the fact that Jesus told him to pray for himself. Now he is following at a distance, and then he finds himself among those who are accusing Jesus of heresy. And then he denied the Lord three times. Beginning in verse 56, it says, a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight, here he is sitting among them, she began looking intently at him and said, this man was with him too, talking about being with Jesus. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I don't know. What a way Peter has gone. A little later, another saw him and said, you're one of them too. Peter said, man, I am not. After about an hour, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. Immediately while he was speaking, a cock crowed. You see, Peter didn't pray. Peter slept instead. Peter depended on his own strength rather than the strength that God could give him, and his faith has failed. But Peter did repent. Jesus prayed, you remember? After you have given in to sin, I just pray that you'll repent. And we read in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked at Peter after he had denied him. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord had told him, before a cock crows today, you'll deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, I suspect Peter was thinking, man, I wish I had prayed. I wish I had listened to Jesus. He told me ahead of time this was going to happen. I didn't believe it. I could have prayed and had the strength that God gives. Instead, I tried to depend on myself and my own strength. And now, look what I've done. I have denied my Lord. But after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, we find Peter leading the other apostles, just as Jesus had prayed. He has said, I pray that after you have returned, that you will strengthen the brethren. And it was Peter who always took that leading role, and it was Peter who preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. And so even though he gave in to the sin, and even though he did yield to that temptation, we find that Peter returned to the Lord. And Peter was faithful after that, and he was willing to serve God and do whatever God would have him to do. And so the prayer of Jesus was answered for Peter. Certainly it would have been nice if he had prayed for Peter and Peter would have said, "Thank you, Lord, and I'll pray for myself." And Peter had not denied the Lord, but he did do that. And so we find that the prayer of Jesus was in fact answered. And so Jesus prayed for Peter. But not only that, Jesus is praying for us too. He didn't just pray for Peter. Jesus prays for us. In Luke chapter 17, in verse 9, He says, "I ask on their behalf," and He's talking about the apostles in this context. "I do not ask on behalf of the world, but those whom Thou hast given Me, for they are Mine." And so Jesus is praying for His apostles here. But notice what He says in verse 20. He says, "I do not ask in behalf of these alone," the apostles, "but for those who also believe in Me through their word," that's us, "that they all may be one, even as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be in Us, that the world may believe that Thou didst send Me." And so Jesus says, not only did I pray for Peter, but Jesus tells us today that He is praying for us. And He's praying that same prayer that He prayed for Peter, that we may not enter into temptation. Jesus knows that there will be times that we will. And there will be times that we will give in. And so He prays that when we do, that we will repent. That we will return. And it may be that we deny the Lord as Peter did, or it may be something totally different. But whatever it is, Jesus is praying that when we have given in to temptation and we have done wrong, that we will return to Him. And not only that, but that we will use our experience to help others. And so when we face temptations, whether we give in or don't give in, the fact is, if we will come back to God, He will forgive us. And the fact is that we will be made stronger, and we can use those same experiences to help others who are faced with similar temptations. And so we need not ever give up. We need not ever despair when things are not as they should be. Because we can come back to God, and Jesus is praying for us. We need to not make the mistake that Peter made, though, and depend on our own strength. But rather, we need to pray for the strength that God will give us through His Holy Spirit living in us. And we need to pray that God will strengthen us and help us to be all that He would have us to be. We need to be careful that we not sleep instead of praying. And it may not be physically sleeping, but many times we just sort of put ourselves and our lives in neutral rather than serving God. And we need to be careful that we not do that, but that we be dedicated and active in our service to the Lord. We need to be careful that we not distance ourselves from Jesus. Even if we are facing trials because of serving Him or facing persecutions, even if things are not going well because of our serving Him, we need to be careful that we not try to distance ourselves from Jesus and from the Lord's people and from the Lord's church. But rather, we should never be ashamed of the fact that we are His and we are a part of His body. And certainly, we need to never deny the Lord. And there are ways that we can do it besides verbally. We're told that we can deny Him by our actions and by our deeds. And so we need to serve Him and live for Him. But we need to have a heart that's ready to repent and always ready to return to Him. And so then when we have done wrong, we can come back to Him and know that He will forgive us. Jesus is praying for you today. And especially if you're here and you're not a Christian, He's praying that you will come to Him in faith and confess Him as Lord. He's praying that you will turn away from sin and be baptized in His name and then live for Him every day. This evening, if you're here and you're not a Christian, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.